The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
Marvelous. How are you?
Wonderful.
Great. We have with us for the fifth week in a row, Andy Tay, Regional Manager with Orkin Pest Control. How are you?
Good, Jackie. Hey, thanks for having me again. Nice to see you too, Pat.
We're thrilled to have you back. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we review many real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office. We have been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions at jruddy.com. That's questions at jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners.
Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is mobile friendly. Andy Tay, Regional Manager with Orkin Pest Control. A little bit of background on you, please.
Yes, I've been in the business, the industry, for 22 years. Started as a technician, worked my way up. Happy to work for Orkin, the world's largest pest control company. Out of Atlanta, Georgia, we've done very well.
And this, you do very well because you know your stuff, you know your material, and you get very excited talking about this stuff.
I live and breathe it every day.
Bugs. The bug man. He really is the bug man.
Bug and rodent man. I'm a rodent expert, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I can tell you from the droppings what kind of rodent did that.
Amazing. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. You wish you had that skill.
Oh, yeah. Sure do. We have so far talked about bed bugs, carpenter ants, termites.
Cucarachas.
And cockroaches.
Oh, yes. Cockroaches.
So today we're going to talk about another fabulous, fun, exciting topic. Yeah. Mice and rats.
Yeah. Yeah, mice and rats.
Mice and rats.
We get a lot of calls for that, a lot of questions, a lot of people need help with these.
Yeah, not something we want to see in our homes, but they do get in.
Yeah, it's amazing the tight cracks and crevices mice can exploit to get into your home. All they need is a hole the size of a dime to work their way in, and they will keep working their way in and out, you know, and just, they love your home.
Nice and warm, plenty of food.
Yep.
Well, we recently had some new homes being redone in our neighborhoods where we live, and people building additions and doing some excavation, and there had been rather large rat sightings, down this one street. People would see them, and it was not something I really wanted to think about. I thought maybe they were in New York City or out in the country.
Did you put that in your listing, Jackie?
Oh, no. No. These houses weren't for sale.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But we were all like on alert that these...
Yeah, people had poison outside their houses, inside the traps and everything. They were set up.
Yeah, because...
It happened to my mother that way, actually. She used to live near railroad tracks. And it seemed like every home along that line, that stretch of line, was getting some rat activity.
Rats.
Yeah, until they finally knocked them out. But yeah.
One of our neighbors woke up in the middle of the night, something was on him, and it bit him terribly. He had to go to the ER. And to this day, they hurried up, they turned on the light, but by the time they did that, it scurried away. But they, to this day, think it was a rat.
It could have been.
And then at the same time in our neighborhood, this house was under construction. So
it was probably more defensive. The rat was probably just creeping around. It didn't realize he was there and he moved, and just defensively. They don't seek out people to bite. So,
yeah.
Unless he's sick, but the rat.
Well, anyway, so that got us all very concerned and kept people like you busy, because a lot of the neighbors said that they had their houses checked for rodents and such. So they do get in.
How big of a hole does a rat need to get in?
Well, it's between, depending upon the size of the rat, between the size of a quarter or a half dollar.
Yeah, oh, so it's a little bit bigger. Okay.
A little bit bigger, yeah. I've had situations where customers told me they squeeze in underneath their refrigerator to hide, and it's incredible, again, the tight cracks and crevices they can exploit to get in and, you know, do what they do. You know, we run into them around farms, and years ago, I was inspecting a crawl space at a farmhouse for termites, and I'm in there, I'm looking around, and, you know, for the termites, I'm really kind of focused on the wood, and all of a sudden, I see this rat run from one end of the crawl space to the other. And I'm like, I got out of there. You corner a rat, it will bite you. It will get defensive, you know? And I told the homeowner, I said, you know, you have rats in your crawl space. And she said, yeah, I know I have rats. I said, why didn't you tell me? I'm not going in a crawl space inspecting for termites with rats down there. She said, oh, I didn't know it mattered. You know, you're the
Well, it's
guy.
A farm, right? Yeah, you figure with all the animals. I mean, well, I've been to zoos, and I've seen lots of rats at zoos, because I guess there's plenty of food, and they're running around, but...
Yeah, not all zoos. You can stay on top of them even in the worst environments. But yeah, some farms do get them, and if you stay on top of them, you don't have to have them. We've done a lot better as an industry with dealing with rats at farms and zoos and different places like that.
No, you can get them there too. You would think it's, you know, you get it and they eat all the food that's there and they're...
Yeah, the ravenous creatures.
Yeah, they eat everything.
How large can a rat get?
Well, it can get pretty big. You know, with the tail, 12 to 14 inches. You know, in a good, healthy environment, they can get quite large. So, scary, scary critters.
And they can gnaw through cinder block?
They do a little bit. The rough edges of cinder block, well, they easily would. They're incredibly strong mandibles. They have to chew to sharpen their teeth, or else their teeth continue to grow. But yeah, they can chip away at cinder block and work these openings larger, you know, and get in and out of the most unusual places.
And what signs do you look for when you're looking for them?
Well, certainly the droppings. We talked about that earlier. They look a little larger, greasier droppings. I don't need to describe that. The rodent here, the rats themselves. Sometimes we'll see the tracks, the little paw tracks through dust, or tail swish marks. Now, one other thing about rats, they're kind of dirty creatures. They have greasy bodies. So when they're going in and out of an opening, you'll see grease rub marks going in and out. You can kind of tell you have a problem, or they might be going in somewhere to nest. So we'll definitely want to address those areas.
Yeah, I went into a garage about 2 months ago, and I found a big dead rat right in the middle of the garage. I was like, oh, man.
I'm not coming
to
your
house. I had no idea. It wasn't my garage.
Oh, wasn't your garage?
No, I went into this garage. I was like, oh, baby.
Yeah, I don't care for rats.
No.
What's really startling is when you're doing an inspection and you're looking around and you know they're there. You know they're there, but you're looking in a basement with your flashlight and you shine it on a sill plate and he's looking right at you and you're just, it just kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies. Even us in the industry, we're not used to rats. So,
how quickly do they breed and multiply?
Well, much like mice and other critters, they can breed very rapidly. A mating pair can have 5 litters or 7 to 15 rats a time. They can breed quite rapidly, and those rats can have their young, you know, every 35 to 50 days. So, you know, in a very short amount of time, it can go from a couple rats to a lot of rats.
Are they tough or easy to kill?
Well, tough for some people, but we have ways of eliminating them. There have been some advancements in the baits. Now, one of the issues we had for rats for years was they're nibblers. They'll go out and feed on a different food source here, a little bit there, a little bit there, and they'll try something new. And they're actually very intelligent creatures. If they feel a little sick the next day, they'll never feed on that again. So we always had trouble with our baits for years because they would try it, but never get enough in the systems to kill them. So we always had to depend upon traps, large rat glue boards and snap traps. And we had attractants, but now there's a newer type of soft bait that is very attractive to rats, and they get enough almost the first feeding to die from them. So we're much better at killing rats than we used to be, but it's still a tough rodent.
I think I'd rather have them trapped and gotten rid of, because if one of them dies behind in the wall or something like that. And
I kind of agree with you. I just have to say it like this. Whenever we treat for rats, we want to get rid of them as fast as we possibly can, so they breed and multiply as little as possible. Obviously, they're unhealthy to have around.
Ugh.
Okay? You don't want them in your house. It's scary with children. You know, if they move a toy, you're wondering, is a rat back there and could it bite you, like you talked about, Jackie? But you're also wondering, they're non-rodents. They chew to sharpen their teeth. And it could be on wood. It could be on wires. You know, it's just scary. So whenever we have them, we load it up with the traps and we load it up with the bait. And we're just using every bullet in our gun to get rid of them as quickly as possible. And, you know, unfortunately, they may die somewhere. We don't want them to die. But that's our second priority. Let's trap what we can trap and try to get rid of as many dead ones as we can. But let's stop it right now. Let's get on top of this as quick as we can.
But they're hard to kill, and they're survivors.
Yeah.
They can go without water?
They can for extended periods of time, months. They do prefer to nest near damp areas. So we commonly find them on riverbanks sometimes, or those types of areas. But they can survive for long periods of water without, or long periods of time without water.
They can fall from how many stories and survive?
Five stories without injury. They're kind of amazing creatures. I saw a video once and it was trying to show and demonstrate what rats can actually do. And they can climb these buildings up the brick wall and work their way up to the soffit areas.
Yep.
They can go through plumbing, even the pee pipes, where it's full of moisture. If they know there's something on the other side, if they're really curious, they'll just swim and go underneath and come out. We talked about how they chew through cinder blocks. I always found that amazing. They're smart. You know, once they find food, they're going to keep coming back to that area. You know, once they realize food's there, even if you take it away, they're going to keep coming back.
And they could survive large doses of radiation?
Yeah.
And how far can they swim?
Yeah, they can survive large doses of radiation without injury and swim half a mile across open water. Now, it's interesting, large doses of radiation, well, how did they figure that out, Jackie? You know? But when you see rat populations in unusual areas near nuclear power plants, then you start to realize, you know, a lot of creatures in nature can survive these highly radioactive areas. Even in water discharge of these power plants, you know, around those areas and do well and breed and multiply. Just weird.
Super rat. Mutant rats.
Yeah. What's the largest rat in the whole entire world? And where does it live?
Yeah, that's the...
Better not be in the North.
Better not be in Dunmore.
I know. This rat can get up to 15 pounds. It's the Gambian pouched rat in Africa. They actually use this rat. They train it and use it. It's kind of a pet. There's people in Africa, South Africa, walking around with them on their shoulders. But they can train them to seek out mines like dogs. They can do a lot of things like dogs. They're really interesting creatures in Africa. But I guess everything's bigger in Africa. So
let them stay in Africa.
I know, really? Don't go there.
No.
Take your big game rifle.
We're with Andy Tay, Regional Manager with Orkin Pest Control. May I have your contact information, please?
Yes, Jackie. Orkin Pest Control, 1-800-261-2847. That's 1-800-261-2847.
Thank you, Andy. Pat?
Yes, we have a three-bedroom, two-bath home at 1803 Price Street in Scranton for only $29,000. This home needs some cosmetic updates, such as carpeting, paint, and TLC. This home is not condemned, and the price is correct. This is great for the investor or somebody has the time to do the work and make it great again. That's a three-bedroom, two-bath home at 1803 Price Street in Scranton for only $29,000, and that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat. It's time for a short break. We'll be back in a few moments with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. The real estate market is extremely active and you want to make a move, but you don't know where to start, who to call, or how to make it happen. I'm Jackie Ruddy and I know Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can lead the way. Our quality service award-winning team will help you with buying and selling a home.
Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has a proven track record and experience you can count on. Lean on us to show you the way. Call 570-344-6724. That's 570-344-6724. Or visit jready.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where homes are open every day, all day long. Also, remember to tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, in with my husband, fellow realtor Pat Devaney.
And we're back with the bug man.
We are back with Andy Tate.
The rodent man today.
The rodent man. Rodent man.
Yeah. Pest control man.
Pest man.
All right.
Okay. Andy Tate, regional manager with Orkin Pest Control.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
First half of the show, we were talking about rats.
Rats. You really like
those. Those ugly things. Yeah. Yes, I don't care
for the long
rats.
Tails.
And now we're going to talk about mice.
Yeah, mice. Much more common. We run into them. I guess most homeowners at several times in their life will run into mice, and some will never run into rats. So, yes, we should talk about
you
mice.
You don't need to only live in the country to come across a mouse in your house.
No, you don't. No.
They're everywhere.
They're in sewer systems, drainage systems. If your neighbor has them, you got them. You know, you're at the mercy of your neighbors in town, you know, but definitely the rural areas going to be more common. But, yeah, they're everywhere.
And it might take you some time to figure out that you have them.
That's right.
That's an interesting point. Mice, one thing that we get right now this time of year, we get a lot of calls. Customers haven't seen them for a few months, but all of a sudden they're seeing mice and they're wondering why. Why didn't they see them a couple months ago? But in the wintertime, getting towards spring, they're feeding on different things that winter over in your house, your exterior walls. It could be ladybugs, stink bugs, box cutter bugs, or other winter invading insects that are huddled in a dormancy stage in that exterior wall of the house. And once that food source starts to run out, and they continue to breed and multiply, they start to push out into the house because they have to find food. And that's when people start to see them in their kitchens, you know, their storage areas, pantries, garages, other places like that. So, yeah, they can be there without you realizing.
So if they get in the cupboards or the pantry, they're usually into the food and you usually could tell because, you know, they're biting things open, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can tell. You can see their droppings. I had a situation once. I was at a house. This gentleman, I was inspecting his house for mice, and I was seeing mice, and I saw some droppings in the silverware drawer, he's drinking his coffee with his spoon, stirring it, you know, putting sugar in there, and drinking that, and he saw me looking at his cup, and I was kind of looking at the silverware drawer, and he said, "Oh, you want a cup of coffee?" And I said, "No." He said, "It's okay. They missed the spoons." And I said, "No, they didn't. You know, they urinate too when they're crawling around." And anyway, I didn't have his coffee.
No, I wouldn't either. I'd pass on that.
No, definitely a pass.
Okay, so when they're in the home, where do they go?
Well, they'll hide in nooks, cracks, and crevices, really in walls near insulation, the attics, where they can breed and multiply, but they'll come out and they'll seek out those food sources. They can actually get territorial. I have customers sometimes, I hear them very noisy at night. Obviously, they're nocturnal, but can be very noisy. And what will happen is a male mouse will be kind of defending his area, you know, his woman, whatever you want to call it. But and they can fight. So they can get quite noisy at night.
Mouse brawls.
Mouse
in the
brawls.
Walls.
I know. No, it's not. Not midget wrestling.
No, it's mouse brawls.
No, you don't want this one.
No.
So if you have mice, do you have rats? Could they be in the same place at the same time?
Not typically. Occasionally, you know, in different areas of a house, they could be. But again, rats and mice are territorial towards each other. So they'll kind of keep each other, you know, well, the rats will keep the mice away, and the mice know better than to mess with a rat. So.
Oof. And how large of an opening?
Oh, size of a dime for a mouse. It's amazing the tight cracks and crevices they can exploit. One of the things that's changed in the industry, and one of the things we've been doing a lot more of over the years, the past years, is more exclusion work at homes and businesses. We've been sealing more and more openings with different things. Now, we used to use, years ago, steel wool. Now we're using, well, copper stuff it, which is the equivalent, except it'll never rust. And we have a different excluder products that won't rust or degrade over time that we can seal a lot of these openings. So certainly, short term, we're trying to solve the initial problem, but we're trying to help reduce the odds of future activity coming in, because naturally they breed and multiply outside and continue to try to get into the home or the business.
How do you normally treat for mice?
Well, again, we use a combination of trap and bait. We really need to aggressively treat for them, just like we need to aggressively treat for rats. There are three main concerns with mice. They breed very rapidly. A female will have 3 to 8 pups or babies a month.
A month.
A month. So they can start with 2 and then in a matter of months be 50 or 100.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
And it can get quite bad in a short amount of time. But also, they are non-rodents. They chew the sharp of their teeth like rats, sometimes on wood, sometimes on wires. So it's a fire hazard, which probably kept you in business, Pat, in New York. But no, hopefully not. And then the health issues of mice. The health issues are very, well, it can be bad. The hantavirus is rare in Pennsylvania. That's a real bad one. We do run into it more often, you know, in cabins, different things like that, people cleaning them up, and we should talk about how to clean up rodent droppings. But the other virus is more commonly associated with mouse droppings cause flu-like symptoms. People think they get the flu in the wintertime because they came in contact with somebody else had the flu, and that's true probably most of the time. But sometimes they get flu-like symptoms just because they have mice in their house and they have the droppings that can harbor these viruses. So we really aggressively get on top of them, and that's why we always use a combination of bait and trap. Now, again, the baits have improved. You never know where a mouse is going to die. They typically die where they nest. It does make them feel a little ill before they pass on. But with these newer types of bait, causes them to dry out faster. And if there's an odor, it's usually localized in that small area and it goes away much faster. They dry out quickly. So I view that as a concern, but a short-term concern. The long-term concern is, again, to get on top of them quickly before they breed and multiply, chew through wires, at least cause electrical problems, or get somebody sick.
How do you clean up the droppings?
Okay. You're right. I mentioned that earlier. And you got to be careful how you clean up mouse droppings and rat droppings and really any type of critter droppings. Okay. You don't want to stir it up. You don't want to create it to be airborne. That's when you breathe it in. So if you use a vacuum, you want to use a HEPA filter vacuum, H-E-P-A, HEPA filter, to get those microbes out that can cause you to be sick. If you're not using that, you're just blowing them in the air and you're making it more likely for you to get sick.
Unless you have a central vac and that blows everything right outside, right?
There you go. You get a central vac. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you could. You could if it's set up that way. That's ideal. And then you do have to be careful how you clean out the bag. You really don't want to dump that and again, stir it up.
Okay.
That you breathe it in. Any of the disinfectants are great. Just spray them down or just wipe them up with a damp paper towel. Again, try not to get them airborne, but you do want to use some mild disinfectants and that'll eradicate all those viruses. But don't sweep them up. Don't use a broom.
Right. Okay. Oh, well, let's just hope I never have these worries. But just part of the discussion, it just seemed like the natural question to ask. Okay.
We can clean those up for you, too.
Right.
Well, that's for some homeowners.
Right. And if I found that, that's who I would call as the professional. I wouldn't try to tackle that myself, but that's just me. So when discussing mice, what do you mean when you say harvest them?
Harvest mice. Okay. This is one of the scary things we talk about with mice. Now, again, they're secretive. Sometimes they only range 5 to 10 feet. Okay. Sometimes they range farther from where they nest. What we run into the industry and we have to be careful of, and this could be in businesses or homes, is they could be breeding or multiplying in a room that we're not treating. And then we're constantly catching mice in other areas. We're harvesting the mice that push out, but we're never getting rid of the source. The true source root of the problem. I actually ran into this yesterday. We started a warehouse that wasn't being properly maintained, but we just picked it up. And we really have to look everywhere in this warehouse to get on top of their mouse issues. We have to look certainly in the warehouses, but in the racks and the pallets, you know, if there's mice breeding and multiplying in a pallet of bird seed, you know, you're never going to get rid of them until you deal with that pallet of bird seed. If there's a room up high that they have some items stored into that you're not treating, they're going to keep pushing down from there and breeding and multiplying there and pushing out, and you're harvesting mice downstairs, but you're never getting rid of the source. So we always look at outside the box. We look at areas that you don't always look. So the first thing we always do with mice and most pests is do a very thorough inspection of all areas. I even had a room on a roof one time, a flat roof, that they had stored some dog food in, of all things. This is actually above a grocery store. And there was mice up there. And we were having trouble getting on top of this until we figured this out. So you really have to look top, bottom, sides, everywhere. And then you put together your treatment plan for mice and you deal with all the areas of problems.
Do the plug-in noise devices work?
Okay. Well, all right. So plug-in noise devices. This is interesting. They can work for a very short period of time, okay? But they don't work long-term or even that long. All critters adapt to that.
What you don't want them to do.
No. We want them gone long-term. And that's why we talk about treating, eliminating, and trying to prevent future activity.
What are voles? Are voles mice?
Are voles mice? No. Some people call them field mice, but technically they're not. There's actually two types of voles, meadow voles and piney voles. We mostly run into meadow voles here in Pennsylvania, but they're large, plumpy rodents with short or no tails. And they eat the roots of plants, not the bark of the base of bushes. They can be destructive to tulip bulbs, junipers, different things like that. They invade homes occasionally, but much less often than mice. The cold does not bother them. So in the winter months, they can actually get worse. And it's interesting why they can get worse. I always found it's interesting. But why would they get worse in the wintertime? They have natural predators, birds, owls, hawks, neighborhood cats that feed on them. Are they able to see them? Now, again, they're primarily nocturnal like most rodents, but they make those furrows in the ground and kind of stay low. When there's snow cover, they're concealed from their natural predators and they can't find them. So what will happen, sometimes they'll kind of go a little crazy under snow. And then in the spring, when the snow melts, people see all these trails through their yard and they're, what tore up my yard? Mm-hmm. You know, it's incredible how crazy they can get in the snow. And, you know, every situation's different. I had situations with voles where it seems like every home near a golf course gets them. I've had situations where it just seemed like one had them. So it's an interesting creature. We're talking about a little earlier, Pat, but you know, sometimes when you're cutting your grass and they're nested in the dirt, they dig holes and just build a nest in the dirt. You can stir them up and you'll see
them. They start running all over the place.
Yeah, you see them running everywhere.
Yeah, I've seen them, yeah.
And you can see, well, how many there truly are sometimes. So, but that's one good thing to do if you have them, keep your yard cut, trimmed short, you know, on a regular basis. You're losing their concealment. So if you let your grass grow, even for a couple weeks, sometimes they can do a little better. If you can reduce your low-lying vegetation around your home, you can reduce a lot of these critters, the junipers. You know, you want bushes, but you don't want them touching your house, and you want them a little bit up off the ground, and you'll reduce a lot of the concealment for these guys so their natural predators can get to them.
Great advice. Okay, Andy Tay, Regional Manager with Orkin Pest Control. May I have your contact info, please?
Yep. 1-800-261-2847. Again, that's 1-800-261-2847. Call for a free inspection.
Thank you, Andy. Would you come back next week?
I'd be happy to.
I haven't yet decided what we'll discuss, but we'll discuss something that I know that you have a lot of information regarding.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Pat.
Yes, here's an opportunity to put a roof over your head and money in your pocket. We have a two-family home at 506 North Blakely Street in Dunmore for $149,000. It has a three-bedroom, two-bath apartment on the second floor and a two-bedroom, one-bath apartment on the first floor. It has separate water, heat, and electric. It also has a separate parking area for four cars and a driveway in the front for the first floor unit. This building is in excellent move-in condition. That's a two-unit at 506 North Blakely Street in Dunmore for only $149,000.
Thank you, Pat. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.